Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Mr. Grant.
Hello, Mark.
Good to see you once again.
Thank you. This week,
continuing a discussion we started last time about plans for modest means. You mean
yes.
You help people who don't have tons of money?
This is true. I know sometimes it sounds like I'm only dealing with the rich and famous, and we talk a lot about trusts. And of course, I hope that that the show also encounters or discusses things like power of attorneys and end of life issues. So we really want the show to be about a plethora of different topics. But yes, I think sometimes there might, if you listen to me regularly, that there might be the perception that that really we're dealing with tax issues in our planning, or for those who have a lot of wealth need to do this type of planning. But I've always been the proponent that everybody needs to do planning. It doesn't matter what the checking account says.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you've mentioned many times that a great place to start is just to have a plan.
Yes.
What, half the population doesn't even have a plan, or even higher?
Correct. It's very unfortunate that I think that really comes down to the mentality that I don't have enough. I've told this story over and over, where I was in a line with there was a longer line to get to a checkout person, and the person in front of me, we were just chit-chatting. He goes, "Well, what do you do?" And I said, "Well, I'm an estate planner." He goes, "Oh, well, if I had an estate, I'd come and see you." But they missed the point. Mm. He was looking at a dollar value versus a person value. You are your greatest asset. And it is critical that you are well protected. So that's why everyone needs an estate plan, because we have to have valid, up-to-date power of attorneys. Up-to-date power of attorneys. If it is more than 5 years old, you are putting yourself in a very bad position. And so that, and that alone, should drive people to come and sit down with their attorney and review things, let alone having a will, a trust, or whatever else is needed for the final disposition issues.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, this week you wanted to talk about something you call a simple trust. I had no idea there was such a thing as a simple trust. I thought they were complex, very involved, like we say, maybe really expensive and only for people who have a lot to take care of. But there is such a thing as a simple trust.
Yeah. Now, this it's not a legal term of art. So if you go and Google simple trust, you are not going to find it. And so this is more of a title to help people understand the type of work that we do. And so there are multiple kinds of trust, but I think it's just kind of this mentality discussion again, Mark, which is, I think people relate trusts to high net worth, or people who have a lot of wealth, or possibly someone who has a special needs child. And so then they understand that they have to protect that child more. However, trusts are utilized primarily nowadays for family issues, to protect family. Yes, it also protects tax issues. It can do that. But that is actually becoming the priority of utilizing a trust, or the main purpose of utilizing a trust, is not tax-driven. Hmm. It's actually family-driven nowadays. And this is really important, because if we get caught up that a trust is just a tax-driven instrument, then therefore we form that public opinion which says, okay, so I don't have a tax problem in Washington State, so as clarity, you need to have more than $2 million before you encounter a Washington State estate tax. So if you have less than that, or if you have far less than that, then your thought process might be, oh, well, then I don't need to do estate planning at all. But that really leaves a gap in what most people's highest value is, which is to make sure that there is a smooth transition should something happen to me. So number one, you cannot have a smooth transition if you do not have some type of a plan, a will, a simple trust, something that demonstrates what your intent is. Otherwise, when you have no plan, you rest upon Washington law. And that may not be the right result of what you desire. So therefore, everybody needs to use their voice and direct what they have to their heart. And what I hope is that when you seek God, because He lives inside of you and He wants to direct you to utilize and to give whatever you have to the right people. Now, sometimes we come into the mentality of it just means we're just dropping money to our kids and that's that. Well, I think that that's more of a worldly perspective, which just says that's what everyone else does, so I guess that's what the right thing to do. I think a true biblical model of estate planning is, number one, first and foremost, in everything that we do as believers in Jesus Christ, is that we seek the heart of the Father. From there, we get our instructions, and it might be to leave some or a large portion, or maybe even everything, to ministries versus your kids. Hmm. I don't know what that is. It is not for me to judge. The only thing that I really want people to do is to seek after the heart of the Father first, then take the next step, which is, now I have confirmation of where these things are to go. I'm confident in my decisions because they align with what I've been told from my Heavenly Father. Now I'm ready to look at the legal documents. Now, we might use wills. Wills are just that they get money to the right people. And so, therefore, they're a check writing instrument is what I call them. They're similar to a beneficiary designation at a bank or on an IRA or investment account. That does a good job of telling us where the money goes, but it cannot protect anybody. So what do I mean by that? I mean, if you do have a special needs child, if you have somebody who you just simply know is not good with finances, it doesn't make them a bad person. It just means they don't have a skill set. So we may want to have a mechanism around that person that says, I want you to have access to 10% every year over a 10-year period, because I don't want you to accidentally spend it all because you just don't have the skill set. It's not bad, person. It's that they are not trained. So everybody has different skills. Mm-hmm. Everyone has different talents. Mm. And so if one of your children does not have the talent of good financial habits, then there is an opportunity, whether you have a lot of money or a little bit of money, to actually help them receive finances over a period of time. That might be your desire. I'm not saying it has to be. I'm just saying that it might be your desire. So we have different tools. And so everything starts in the system. Everything starts with step one of seeking the heart of God. Then number two, everything else from there on, my job is to then hear what vision God has given you, what do you want to accomplish? Then we can actually talk about the tools, whether it's a will, whether it's a trust. Everyone needs power of attorneys.
What if it's just you and your spouse, and it's not complicated, and I would think that's about as simple as it gets?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a good chance that one of you will precede the other in death, and so it just all goes to the spouse.
Yeah, not everyone has kids, right?
Right.
And so I agree. And so, number one, how do you want to set up what God has given you as an individual? So I've been married for 28 years. It'll be 29 years next month. And after all, so I've known my wife for 29 years now, okay, almost 30 years. And I cannot get her to look at life in the same way I look at it. I mean, I have tried for 30 years. It's been a very difficult proposition. Okay. So now, if you know me, that was my voice of joking. I am not trying to get my wife to change who she is. But it is this fact, which is, I am created differently than my wife. Thank God, because I have different skill sets and she has different skill sets. I bring something to the table. She brings something to the table. This is called a beautiful helpers back and forth, that we can support each other. And so therefore, in our union, we are still very different individuals, and therefore we balance each other. Now, if I were to die first, my job as an estate planner, of course, I can't do my own estate plan if I die first afterwards. So, an estate planner's main objective should be that if someone dies, even without children, what was that person's intent at the time that they passed away? So my wife and I might be in unity that this is where we're supposed to go. Well, if I just simply leave everything to my wife, yes, I'm trusting my wife to continue the journey in her relationship with Jesus Christ. And I would give, obviously, the Holy Spirit full and absolute permission to make adjustments. But what if there was something that I feel very strongly about? I want to make sure that that missions is taken care of, as an example. If that was my heartbeat that God had given me, and everything goes to my wife, well, here's a scary thought. What if my wife got remarried, and now that new union began to shift and change her thought process away from what we had decided in unity? Mm. Not out of spite, not out of discord, not out of doing anything other than being in a different union and having that person's thought process be the unifying factor now. So now my entire vision and purpose that God gave me might be thwarted. It might be. And it's not out of malice. It's not out of ill intent, like I said. It's just because life happens. And I could go into story after story about how remarriage happens. Statistically, men get remarried very quickly after losing a spouse. Women, yes, you likewise have a statistic. You get remarried as well. It takes longer, because you're not sure if you want to babysit and retrain somebody again, but you do have a statistic. You get remarried. It is out there. It happens. And so my job as an estate planner is to listen to the heartbeat of unity at the time that it is being expressed and protect those visions. You can't do that by simply saying, here, honey, here's all my money. Is that if God has laid something on your heart, it is critical to protect it through the mechanism, the legalities that we have afforded in our hands. And so for many people, that looks like a trust. Now, it could be a complex trust, a simple trust. There's multiple ways that we can form it. We can keep costs down. And so isn't that nice to know? I don't have to charge you an arm and a leg. Now, if you would like to give me your arm and leg, I can. However, most people don't want to. So therefore, there's different pricing points for different tools, but the whole issue is, number one, hear the heartbeat of God. Number two, then my job is to listen to you communicate that and create which tool is best to meet the scenario. I don't know if it's a will. I don't know if it's a simple trust, a complex trust. I don't know if it's an irrevocable trust, a Medicaid trust. And the list goes on and on and on as to the tools. So I made this analogy, and then we're going to head to break, which is, you hope that if you're going to remodel your kitchen, that your carpenter doesn't come into your kitchen saying, I've got my hammer, I'm going to hit something today. You hope that they walk in saying, what's your vision? What would you like me to accomplish? And that you don't tell the carpenter, hey, be sure to use your hammer as the tool that is mostly used. You would never tell your carpenter that. So why in the world would you walk into an estate planning office saying, I want a will? You're telling me what tool to use instead of allowing the process of hearing God's heartbeat and then allowing me to guide you to the right tool. You don't do it with your contractor. Our mentality of estate planning needs to be one where this is my passion. Tell me how to make sure that that goal is accomplished. Mm.
Some of the heart of Paul Grant, and he does have good news. There are plans for Modest Means.
Yes.
That's the subject this week. We'll discuss this further after the break. People are intrigued. They want to find out more, though, right now, maybe. How do they get in touch with you, Paul?
Well, we have a website. It's called legacyandfaith.com, so you can head over there. There's past podcasts. Matter of fact, we've talked about Modest Means for a couple of shows, so head over there. Listen, get caught up to date with all those at legacyandfaith.com. There's upcoming educational workshops. So register for those. There's a lot more information that we cover in a systematic order. And there's ways to communicate to me. So please ask a question. Let me know that you're out there. We'd love to meet you. So head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Many families realize that with the passing of each generation, their family legacy is disappearing and they're feeling regret. To alleviate this heartache, Memories Worth Telling writes their family story and creates a beautiful heirloom book to preserve their unique history. Go to memoriesworthtelling.com to schedule your initial consultation and learn how they can capture your legacy. Once again, that's memoriesworthtelling.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland this week on the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant, looking at plans for Modest Means. And we are talking about a simple trust that is maybe different from a full trust or a complex trust, as you say. So what are some of those differences?
Yeah, and look, everything in estate planning has a complexity to it. And so people often walk into the office, I'm just a simple person. I just want this to be as simple as possible. And I understand that heartbeat. I really, really do. So just understand that in the background of anything an attorney does, there's a complexity that hopefully they are taking care of that is not being placed upon your shoulders. So so in our system only, there's different tools that we can use. One is what we tend to call a full trust, okay, versus a simple trust. So in these different models, someone who has a tax issue or is getting close to having a tax issue, really anyone who has $1.5 million or more, I personally, so this is an opinion of Paul Grant, you could find another attorney who would disagree with me. I personally believe that a revocable living trust, ensuring that it has full tax language and full tax capabilities of protecting the estate is really a requirement. I don't want to lead somebody down the path of using a will or another plan that does not have the full tax capacity to protect the estate. I cannot tell you how many times I have had someone pass away. Their spouse comes to my office and says, "Here's what my husband and I did 10 years ago. And now their estate is worth millions of dollars because God just continues to bless them. And their estate plan was never reviewed. It was the inappropriate document at the time because I don't know why." And so the whole point is that I would always personally want to err on the safe side that you are going to continue to be blessed by God. And so therefore, I want to ensure that we do not encounter an unnecessary, unexpected tax problem like what the client I just talked about. By the way, that is a client that I am dealing with right now. Mm. That their estate has increased beyond their wildest expectations, which we would all look at and rejoice for them, but that they're managing it well and God has given them stewardship over it. But the estate plan was poorly designed and never updated. So number one, I'm always going to err. So this is, again, that I'm talking about my personality. I'm not talking about specific legal advice. I'm talking about concepts here, is that it is my concept that I would always want to err on the side of safety. So that's number one. But now, if we definitively don't have a tax issue, so we have somebody that that may have a smaller sum of money that is not anywhere near the Washington state estate tax, there are ways that we can still use a trust that is far less, I'll use the word complicated, because I actually do call it a simple trust. And what we're doing is we're removing a bunch of the tax language. We're taking away a lot of those tax safety nets because we don't see a course of action or a road that would lead this individual to needing or being exposed to an estate tax. But yet there are some critical things that we really want to make sure that the trust has. Number one, we want to make sure that the trust is fully operable to protect that person's interests. So in other words, if someone became incapacitated and they needed someone else to come in and manage their finances, we don't want to compromise the trust and its fiduciary duties so that that person is being well taken care of and that what they have, because heck, at that point, the truth is that you don't have as much resource, financial resources, and it is even probably more important that we protect those and that they're being utilized properly for your care. So really a trust at that level, a simple trust, and one of its major functions is to protect the person who is incapacitated and make sure that what finances they have are being utilized for their best interest instead of somebody utilizing it for something that is outside the scope of taking care of that incapacitated person. So that's number one, is that we always want to make sure that the planning accommodates to care for the individual. That is always, I tell people all the time, is that when they come in and talk to me and they start talking about, well, I want to make sure that my kids are taken care of or that these ministries are, it's just like, okay, but wait a minute, we missed a very, very important step, which is my job is to take care of you first. During your lifetime, estate planning should do a very, very good job of making sure that you are safe. And so therefore, as an attorney, that's my first view, is towards you as the client. Then when that is taken care of and the storyline then turns to, I've died, so now I'm ultimately taken care of in the presence of Jesus. So so we really have no problems for you now. Now, how do we turn the attention towards our children? So in the differences between a will and even a simple trust, in my opinion, are very critical at this point. A will is still a check writing instrument. So we're going to write a check from your estate or from an account through a beneficiary designation. And the beneficiaries are going to receive everything just in their hands. In other words, if they happen to go through a divorce, if they happen to make a mistake financially, if they don't have financial skills, I could sit here and do a whole show of what ifs. And so just understand that we live in a fallen world. It is broken at its core. And so therefore, there are things that can happen to Christians as well. And we watch this all the time, okay? So therefore, how do we protect and ensure that whether our children are believers or unbelievers, that that what we give them is protected? As a matter of fact, I think that it's a very biblical foundation that we care for our family in a way that that resembles and reflects the heartbeat of God. God is our ultimate protector. He is our high tower. He is our shield around us. He is absolutely, with everything that he has, a protector at the core. And so therefore, if I am to demonstrate that characteristic of God, it is just one thought process. I'm not saying that this is the only thought process, but is it reasonable to assume that as we leave a legacy, that we should have that heartbeat towards our children? This is my last act of protection that I can do. So writing a check, there are no protections involved in that. And so even in a simple trust, we can offer a shield of protection, but we can give the beneficiary really extraordinary opportunities to use the inheritance as they desire. Now, that's if that is what your vision is. If your vision is, boy, Paul, I have a child that really has no financial skills, and I want to make sure that that money is around for a long period of time. Okay, we can accomplish that as well. So really, there are opportunities. And just because trusts are typically associated with complex tax issues, it doesn't have to be that way. And we can still get and elicit the benefits out of a simple trust for really any type of modest means that you may have.
Okay, good news. There are plans for modest means. And if you're intrigued by this idea that maybe you can have a trust after all, a simple trust, Paul would love to discuss it further with you. How do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. Past podcasts are there about this very topic. And there's also educational opportunities coming up. So head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, always great stuff. Legacy and Faith Show with estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant here on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.